from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, taking you right up to noon. I'm Kyle, that's James. We had the day off yesterday for President's Day. Thanks everybody who tapped into ESPN 1320 anyway, and thanks everybody for tapping in here on this wonderful Tuesday. I am still doing the show from home, but I will be back in tomorrow. That is confirmed.
Yes,
I'm excited. I'm very excited for this. And I'll be, and James, it'll be our first show. Not only will I be back for the first time in a week and a half, but I will be in that chair where you're sitting, and you will be in Kenny's typical spot.
Oh, oh, but you do know I'm taking my chair over to the other side, right?
That's fine. I don't do whatever you want. I don't need a specific chair. The chair I use at home is straight up like an IKEA chair.
Wow.
It's not like a fancy...
I'm an old man. I have to... And this is the only chair with arms?
I was going to say, I was looking at the other chairs. You're the only one with armrests still.
Well, yeah.
I don't even want arms on my chair, though.
So
I feel like...
Do we even know how that chair came about in the studio?
Yes, I do. So what happened was they knew that they needed to get me a chair with arms because my back is bad. So what they did is they took one of the standard office chairs with arms... They took the base of one of the tall chairs and swapped bases. So now somewhere around here, we have an office chair with no arms.
some poor fella out there.
Someone's
guess whose chair was switched without even knowing.
Sitting at a desk and fall out of his chair because he doesn't have arms. Just saying.
I don't like arms on my chair, so I'm going to be excited to not have them. No, because like my headphones get all caught on it. My headphones, in fact, these are the headphones I'm going to bring in. But you know how my headphones are broken?
Yeah.
If you've watched the stream, you'll notice that my headphones are like all messed up. That's because when I was working at 95.7, the sister station in San Francisco, the cord to those headphones would get wrapped around like the arm of my chair. And when I would spin around to go out of the studio for some reason, they would get caught and like fly off and hit the ground or the desk or whatever, wherever they were sitting.
Yep.
So that's why I prefer to not have arms on my chair.
All right.
And even if I did, I would let you have it, James.
You're a team player.
I'm so nice.
Yeah. I, on the other hand, am not a team player. I'm taking my chair and going to the other side.
No, you have a bad back.
I do.
You have back problems. Like, that's way different than, like, I prefer an arm with chair or a chair with arms.
Yes.
I don't care.
Yeah. No, it's you not. It's not just being a prima donna and needing a chair with arms just because I demand a chair with arms.
Although I would love that. I would love that for you because you're so like, do whatever. Like I am riding the wave. Like whatever you want to do, you let me know. Like that's the kind of person you are. You'll be like, hey, I want to talk about this or I want to do this today or whatever. But in the setup of the show, when I'm like, I want to do this, you're like, great, let's do it.
Okay.
Can we try this? Yeah, let's do it. Hey, James, can you meet at this time? I got it. Like, yeah. I'm there. Whatever you need. It would be so funny if your one thing was like, screw you, to hell with you. I need the chair with arms.
Yes.
That's your one. That's your one thing that you're not cool with.
It's
just like, no, nope,
it's my
nope,
chair
hell with
and
you.
I'm taking it 6 feet away from this spot and putting it over there. And I don't care. Damien's going to be super pissed because he's going to come in and Kenny's going to be sitting in the chair. Like, hey, what's up? It's like, no,
is
no.
This a, wait, hang on. Pause. Chatty House. And anybody listening, 916-909, 1320, 916-909-1320. Is this a thing? Is arms on an office chair a thing?
Well, okay. So I've been told in the radio world that DJs don't like to have arms on the chairs because of what you said. You get your headphones caught all the time. Plus, they're standing up, they're moving around, they're doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
But we're not a like music show. Like we don't have music playing. And so most talk shows have arms on their chairs, but when they bought all the chairs for the studio, they didn't consider that we're also ESPN 1320 here and not just 96.9, 98.5, 106.5, like 102.5.
Right.
So that's why we end up with no chairs with arms. So like the triangle of avoidance, which
like,
which used to
like
be the circle of trust. So James has like a group. It's called this. Well, initially it was a circle of trust. Me and two of the engineers and Aaron, the big boss man. We have since booted Aaron out of the circle of trust.
And jettisoned.
We are the triangle of avoidance, so we don't get stuck doing all of the crazy things like building a set for Daughtry in the studio. Mm-hmm. The triangle of avoidance is who has the other two legs of the triangle of avoidance. Are the ones that have built this chair for James. So it's
that's
a peace
really
offering.
Nice.
I'm having t-shirts that's made. Great. The triangle of avoidance. We learned the circle of trust meant we had to do all the work. The triangle of avoidance, we see the work coming and we get out of the way.
It's a good band name.
It is.
I have players who have scored 50.
Okay.
Twice in a season and they both lost the game. This has happened a lot, turns out. Stephen Curry did do it twice last year, last season, 22-23. Bradley Beal has done it a couple times. Devin Booker, James Harden, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, Michael Redd.
Michael
Redd. Bucks legend.
He was a straight bucket.
Yep. Dominique Wilkins twice. Bernard King, New York Knicks legend. Tiny Archibald. For Kansas City back in 72-73. Kareem did it with Milwaukee in 71-72. He did it twice. Wilt Chamberlain had it happen twice. More on Wilt later in 63-64. James Harden three times in 18-19. Kobe three times in 06-07. MJ three times in 88-89. Okay, so Wilt Chamberlain had this happen five times in 64-65.
Of course.
13 times in 61-62 and 16 times in 62-63.
I think you probably named like 18 players, and of those 18, two are not Hall of Famers. Michael Redd and Bernard King. Bernard King's not in, right?
Is he?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
Oh no, Bernard King is in the Hall of Fame. My bad, Bernard King. Okay. Four-time All-Star.
Wow.
Scoring champion in 1984-85. Four-time All-NBA. He again, like Michael Redd, was a bucket. He led the league at 32.9 points per game 1 year, and then missed the next season with knee injury.
Giannis just broke his all-time Milwaukee scoring record, I believe.
Oh, wow.
I'm trying to look now.
No, Bernard King.
Bradley Beal is probably... Bradley Beal's not going to the Hall of Fame.
No, that's true.
Right.
Well,
I don't. At least I don't think.
I mean, No, like he should not be in the Hall of Fame. But again, you're talking about a three-time All-Star, an All-NBA player. I don't know.
Devin Booker?
Yeah,
Devin Booker will go.
Yeah, Devin Booker will go. He for his career, 22 points, 4.3 assists, 4.1 rebounds for Mr. Bradley Beal. But I don't want to do quick math and tell you how many games he's missed in his career, but it's a lot. It's a lot.
But also, how many playoff games has he won? I can't remember. Like, what's your favorite Bradley Beal playoff moment? That kind of stuff matters.
Okay, so in his first 2 years, he did make it out of the first round. Actually,
start with John Wall.
No, he made it in 2014. To the second round, 2015 to the second round, 2017 to the second round, and then 18 and 21, he was bounced in the first round. So he's actually played more playoff games than I would have assumed. He's 22 and 23 in his career in the playoffs.
Yeah, and he's never been past the second round.
No. No.
James Harden will be in.
Yep. Westbrook, you
and
said.
Steph will be in.
He'll be in. Michael Jordan.
Westbrook is not on this list.
Michael Jordan is in the Hall of Fame. Oh, I thought you said Westbrook.
Wow. Stunner.
Yes.
Michael Jordan made it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Bradley Beal is going to be the only player on this list who is not in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, no, Michael Redd.
Oh, and Michael Redd. Yeah.
My,
the only other player not on this
Michael
list.
Redd. Michael Redd was a bucket. He was
really
fun.
Good. He had ACL injuries, right?
He had knee injuries for sure.
Ramsey said his favorite Bradley Beal playoff moment was LeBron James hitting a corner three against Washington. See?
Well, you got to be remembered for something, Kyle.
What's the over under if they both stop today? Beal makes the Hall of Fame before Sabonis? I don't think he would.
I think he would because he scored more points, and that's the sad reality of the NBA world.
You know what? In. Good point.
It is.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
We've squandered an entire segment of our show discussing weird,
no, it's fine.
Weird things and clearly, points.
I don't know. I think maybe I'm just like Sacramento pilled and I maybe misjudge what, because I don't, everywhere you looked, every podcast I listened to, everything I read, like everybody knows that Sabonis and Fox got hosed. Sabonis even more so than Fox, which is why I think when you bring up the Hall of Fame thing, if they both said, hey, we're done today, and the NBA said, hey, you have to vote on whether one of these guys goes to the Hall of Fame, I really think Sabonis probably, at least I would think, gets more votes because you probably have a bunch of people just going to box scores and going, oh, wow, look at all these numbers the last couple of years. But I don't know, maybe I'm wrong.
All right.
Maybe I'm wrong. I'm probably wrong. I was also certain he was going to the All-Star game, so what the hell do I know?
All right. The Stockton Kings, this is breaking news, have acquired Brian Bowen and Lance Thomas. I'm not sure.
Oh.
So I do not know what they traded for them. That's not part of the press release that I can see. Just saying. Yeah, breaking news. All right, Kyle, we got to go to break.
It's big time. Yeah, we have to. Should we not break after that news? Should we talk about that instead?
That's probably something we should spend 18 minutes on after the break.
Okay. What do the Kings have to do moving forward to succeed in the second half? I also want to get to this Niners Brandon Ayuk trade stuff next on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Jarrett Jack was 38 playing in the G League.
Good for Jarrett. Wait.
In 2021.
What about Pooh Jeter? Hang on. Pooh Jeter played in the G League last year. Was it last year? Yes, it was last year. He played for the Ignite.
Oh, that's a good one. King's legend.
And he is 40. So he played in the G League as a 39-year-old. And Pooh Jeter is, I think he's an assistant, I believe, with Portland at this point. And
he is with Portland, Ken.
Yeah, he was
that.
Just around.
Yeah, because he was on the court. Were you there the day he was on the court? Anyway, I walk onto the court, and he's like, yo! And I'm like, hey, what's up, Pooh? And yeah, just remembered me because he was a Sacramento Kings legend. Of course, he played in on the first Kings team I ever covered, 2010, 2011, and that was a team that like so many guys had never played again in the league that year, like Luther Head, Antoine Wright, Darnell Jackson.
If you're just tapping in and wondering why we're talking about random old NBA players / Kings players, it's because the Stockton Kings just announced that they have acquired Lance Thomas, who left the NBA in the 2019-2020 season. He is 6'8", 240 pounds, according to Basketball Reference, and he turns 36 years old in April.
It's a quality addition.
So now we're looking at old NBA players. So 2011-2012 was Lance Thomas's first season in the NBA. I believe he went undrafted out of Duke.
Mm.
If I'm looking at this right, he made his NBA debut December of 2011 with the New Orleans Hornets. The 2011-2012 season, that was such a long time ago, James. Do you remember who the MVP was that year?
The MVP? Oh.
Yeah, in 2011-12. Don't overthink it.
No?
Feels like it shouldn't be LeBron.
LeBron?
Yeah, it's a LeBron year. Who was the rookie of the year in 2011-2012?
Okay, so that's a Jimmer draft.
Jesse, you can play too.
I got an idea for this one.
Okay, remember, I remember most of that around where the Kings are drafting, but I don't remember who's at the top of that draft.
Michael Carter Williams just had the triple-double, right? He never won the Rookie of the Year?
No, he was the Rookie of the Year.
Okay, that's my guess.
He was later.
He was later?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so, man.
That's a good guess, though.
Why am
right
I drawing
position.
A blank? Oh, so it's a point guard.
It is.
Okay, so we have Brandon Knight, we have Kemba Walker, we have Jimmer Fredette are like 8, 9, 10. I think Clay is 11. Number 7 was a Kings pick, and they drafted Bismack Biyombo. Number 12 is, oh no, I'm not going to be able to come up with the Rookie of the Year from this year.
Chat threw in a name. Is it Kyrie?
It is Kyrie Irving. Congratulations to the chatty house.
Alden Jay gets that one.
Kyrie Irving, correct.
Yeah.
Scoring leader in 2011-12, this is a fun game. I would like to continue playing.
I'm going to go Kevin Durant on that one.
Oh.
Yeah, Kevin Durant's right.
Oh,
yeah,
good
28
call.
28 points a game. Rebound leader that year?
Roy Hibbert.
Andre Drummond?
Oh, good guesses. No. Dwight Howard. 14 and a half boards per game.
I wanted to guess Dwight, but I feel like he was falling off at that point. I guess not.
Assist leader, another Kings legend.
Rajon Rondo?
Yeah, that's an easy one, I feel
Rajon
like.
Rajon Rondo, 11.7. All right.
And that was your 2011 callback.
And that's a shortened season. That's the strike season. It's the lockout season. So
yes,
I covered my first year was 2010-11 with DeMarcus. Also, we have Samuel D'Alembert, Jason Thompson, Dante Green, Omri Caspi, Antoine Wright, Pujetter, Darnell Jackson, Luther Head, I could probably come up. Oh, Hassan Whiteside was on that team.
In 2011-12, I do not have Pujetter on that team.
No, 10-11. 10-11. Jermaine Taylor.
Oh, 10-11. Got it.
Okay. Yeah. So I could come up with most of, Tyreke Evans, that's 11. Yeah, I can come up with most of the players on that team if I really thought about it. But then that after that season, we have the lockout that hits. So they draft Jimmer, and then July 1st, like 5 days later, the NBA goes on lockout. And during the lockout, I along with a crew of dudes, made Small Market Big Heart during the lockout that year. Because that's when, like, the team is...
Hell yeah.
That's the end of the 2010-11 season is the Grant and Jerry sign-off. It's where everyone thinks that the Kings are leaving and going to Anaheim and did not.
I was in a journalism class at Sac State, and the professor I had also taught Sam Amick. Mm-hmm. And he was going to come in and speak to our class that summer. Or leading into that summer, and she was like, yeah, Sam Amick's going to come in and talk to the class. And I'm like, isn't there like a lockout going on? Like, you're going to have Sam Amick in here in the middle of a lockout? Like, that's nuts. Like, but cool. And she goes, yeah, no, I talked to him. He's going to come in. It's like, all right, awesome. And so the day comes that Sam is supposed to be in, and she's like, I dressed nice. I like suited up to meet Sam Amick, which is funny knowing Sam now. But I like dressed nice and I'm all fired up. And she's like, yeah, Sam Amick's not going to come in. The NBA is in the middle of a lockout and he has to cover that. Like, yeah, duh. I told you. Anyways. That's what I remember about the lockout.
That's amazing.
Real quick before we hit the break. I forget the professor's name, Lizzie. Sorry. But I saw some stuff on the internet yesterday about Brandon Ayuk being traded and the stuff the Niners have to do this offseason. Dan Graziano and ESPN actually wrote about this.
Okay.
And the thing I want to just dispel real quick is Graziano paints this really dramatic picture of the Niners offseason. And it's like they're going to have to cut Kyle Juszczyk or redo his contract. And they're going to have to cut Dre Greenlaw, which they won't be able to because he has a torn Achilles. But anyways, and they're going to have to trade Brandon Ayuk. And this is all dire and everything's awful. That's not the case. And I've seen the discussion kind of all stem from that. And I've seen this, okay, who do they get rid of? Who do they keep? That's a 2025 conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Like genuinely, next offseason is where everything kind of comes to a head. And you have George Kittle and you have Eric Armstead and you have, you might have to pay Brock Purdy and you have to figure out what you're doing with Deebo Samuel. You got to figure out what you're doing with Christian McCaffrey. Like next offseason is where it all really gets hairy and messy.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is where things stand right now, the only way the 49ers would have to, quote unquote, have to trade Brandon Ayuk is A, if he just outright says, I'm not signing here. I'm looking at the next 3 to 5 years, and I don't think that I'm going to be able to be as productive as I can be as a receiver. I think I can go win elsewhere. I don't want to play here, which, okay. B, if he goes, I want Tyreek Hill money, and I want $35 million a year, and I want $80 million guaranteed or something insane like that. And they just go, not worth it. You can go get that elsewhere. But other than that, like they can keep all their guys and sign Brandon Ayuk long-term this offseason and still have some money to play with in free agency. So it's not a dire, like, oh my God, everything is awful. Like it kind of is from a, they just lost the Super Bowl standpoint and
yeah,
losing the Super Bowl and going back is like impossible. So it's dire from that standpoint, but all this, oh, they have to blow it up if they want to sign Brandon Ayuk is just not, that's just not a real thing.
Well, yeah.
And I just wanted to make that really clear.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked about this last week, right? They have like a $36 million carryover credit from this year that will wipe out almost all of the $43 million like over the salary cap for this season, for next season.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good there. And then there's ways to like move all of these contracts around. Of course, Nick from ESPN came in and worked with us on all of it, like the basics of it. Mm-hmm. Right. So like there is no panic button yet. And it's funny. Why are we writing this at ESPN when you wrote something from somebody who's in it, like got his, you know, big boy boots on and trudging through the mud in 49ers salary cap quagmire of, you know, that's building.
It's really odd.
And then you have a second one. I mean, I guess that's like counter view, but that's not really what it was. This is just like a weird situation where we have like some sort of panic and misinformation that's happening. Can't imagine
that.
Yeah,
it's just go ahead.
No, go. Yep.
I just wanted to make it really clear that that's just not where things really stand right now with them. So
yeah, and I can't imagine not bringing back Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk is like, if we talk about the two timeline thing, Brandon Ayuk is your two timeline with Brock Purdy. That's your two timeline. It's you build around those guys and then some offensive linemen and some young defensive linemen and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah.
And this year Brandon Ayuk was 7th in the league in receiving yards and 36th in targets, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But their offense is built around Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle primarily right now. What does that look like in 2 years when Kittle's gone and McCaffrey's north of 30 and Deebo Samuel might be gone? You're going to need a legit number one wide receiver, and I think that's what Brandon Ayuk is, and I think the 49ers would be smart to pay him.
I agree.
I'm right there with you.
I agree.
All right. How do the Kings continue how they finished the first half? How do the Kings pick off where they left off in the second half? We'll talk about that next. We'll also have the handoff with one of D'Lo or KC coming in to chat with us as well. All that coming up in the final segment on The Insiders on ESPN 1320.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Final segment. I'm doing the show.
We're back.
So I can't hear the rejoin music. James just gives me like the, hey, your turn, you go thing. But he was just jamming out. I don't know what that was, but James was feeling it. That was great.
I'm just like, it's one of the rejoiners, and I forget that you don't hear the rejoiner music.
No, I can't. I'm going to the Kings game on Thursday against the Spurs. And Loki in the chatty house on YouTube at youtube.com/ESPN1320 reminded me I'm not allowed to go to games anymore. I will be leaving early. I will make sure to step out like a quarter early.
You're just going to walk and go, that boy tall and leave.
He is enormous. Pause. I'm gonna take photos on Instagram for clout, and then I'm going to leave.
You're gonna be like, that's a huge spur.
Was that a Deuce Bigelow reference?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes. Kyle got it. Wait, Kyle just got a movie reference. What?
I did.
Oh my gosh, what just happened?
Game time, baby. Let's go. So we were talking about the A's at the break, and I wanted to talk about this briefly on air, because at first I was like, when the vote for them to move went through, people like Casey Pratt with ABC7 in San Francisco, people like Ray Ratto, who is a legendary journalist who has been around. He was on the sidelines for the catch in the 1982 NFC Championship game, like that, or the 1981 NFC Championship game. Like, he has been around. And even when the vote for the A's to move got approved, everybody who was close to this thing and everybody who's been around was like, eh, like, they could still botch this. And talking about this at the break, the moves they've made or not made for this season.
Oh, yeah.
And they are now in the spotlight. They are now, John Fisher and co, are now in the spotlight as, like, dude, people are watching. Like, you think people were paying attention last year? Wait until now. Now people are really going to be like, this is the team that's moving to Vegas. You've got Vegas. You have to convince people in Las Vegas that this is a good idea. And you're going to roll out a team that's going to lose 100-plus games again and made no discernible effort to get better. And you're trying to convince some place to take you in the meantime. And you're going to roll out the worst team in baseball again? This row? That's just a plan?
Kyle, they intend to do it for 3 more years, just in case you were wondering. Actually, it's 4. 4 more years of throwing trash, like, ridiculously bad.
And they say that once the stadium opens in Las Vegas, that's when they're going to spend. Why would anybody believe that? And then on top of this, they're doing nothing on social media because everybody hates them. There's the whole negotiation about whether they're going to leave the A's logo and colors in Oakland. And that's one of the things that they can, that the city of Oakland is saying, like, you give us the name and colors for this expansion team that we're trying to get, and you can play in the Coliseum until you leave.
The city of Oakland, they're playing hardball. I mean, and
yes,
this is what they have to do, because you're basically looking at, I think it's $68 million this year in a television contract, but then if the next 3 years is going to be around, you know, $65 to $70 million. So let's just say it's 70, 4 more years. That's like $280 million that the A's don't want to leave on the table from the NBC Sports California contract, right? They want that money. Well, if they move out of the Bay Area, they lose that money instantly. And, you know, even if they move to Sacramento, like, they would have to renegotiate that deal with NBC Sports because it's out of the Bay Area window. And whether or not NBC is going to be willing to deal with them or not is a big question. Mm-hmm. And my guess is, they'll at least listen, but they're going to want a whole lot less money than this 68. So whether it's 40 million or 50 million, whatever it is, they're going to want a discount. If they stay in Oakland, they get that money. So now, city of Oakland's like, number one, we're not giving you the Coliseum rental for $1 million a year, which is what they've strung out forever. We're not doing that anymore.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, it's absolutely wild. So it's probably going to cost like 30 million or something. They want some of that money. They also want Major League Baseball in the room, and they want a guarantee of an expansion team. I don't think that's going to happen, but go ahead. They also want the history of the A's and the A's green and gold and the name and everything else left in Oakland. So when they do get an expansion team, that's not going to happen, that they would be able to tie that to the original franchise, the Oakland A's, and not allow it to go to Las Vegas and either get extinguished or be bastardized in some way by the worst ownership group that's ever existed in humanity.
The right move is for them to leave the name and colors anyways, just from a branding standpoint. The A's logo and colors is not the Raiders, where it's this national brand that everybody knows the silver and black. Like, everybody knows, whether they're in Los Angeles or Oakland or Las Vegas, that is the silver and black, and Raider Nation is going to be around, right? It's not that level of, it's just, you're just the A's, and people hate you. Like, people, baseball fans, what, baseball writers, Jeff Passan, Ken Rosenthal, the biggest names, drag you constantly.
They made in fun of him on First Take the other day. Jeff Passan with Tony Kornheiser, just absolutely clown.
Pardon the interruption.
Pardon the interruption. My bad. Yeah, PTI. Yes. Yeah, they absolutely clown them. Clown the A's. And like, oh, yeah, no one really believes that they're going to get this thing done. Like, why would we believe that? These idiots can't get anything done.
Jeff Passan, who is as plugged in as any writer in the sport, is like laughing at the idea that this is just going to sail through. So the right thing to do is to just rebrand entirely. Try and wash your hands of the Oakland A's thing and your debacle in trying to leave that city. They should be willingly doing that. Mm-hmm. But a rebrand costs time. It costs money. There's focus groups that are involved. It's adding on to this timeline that the A's have already hosed. They've already screwed it up in every conceivable way. They do not have the ability, whether financially or with the calendar, to go, okay, yeah, by the way, and when we move, we're going to become the, and they can't be the Aces, because I believe that trademark already belongs to a team in Reno, but they can't just go be like, oh, yeah, we're the Aces now. That's also the WNBA team in Las Vegas, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
So they would have to completely, like, rebrand, new colors, new logo on top of everything else. So the reason
Las Vegas Cacti's. There it is.
The Cacti. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there's a million different you know, names they could go with, but they're not going to, because they can just keep the A's logo and colors. They don't even have to get new uniforms. They don't even have to pay for that.
I don't think they can afford new uniforms, Kyle.
Right?
They're literally going to go out there and they're going to like heat gun Mark Canna's name off the back of a jersey and put another name on the back of the jersey, player to be named later, and just like keep going with this thing. Yeah.
It's just, I was so pessimistic when everything got voted through, because I was like, well, now they can't screw it up. Like, now it's they've been fast tracked and they've gotten pushed down the hill, and now it's just a bunch of formalities. But it appears they're in the process of screwing it up.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And man, you said this at the break and it just really hit me, man. You were like, and they're going to be the worst team in baseball again. It's like, why would you do that? Why with the Major League Baseball's eyes on you, why would you give people more reason to think you suck? Why not make some kind of, it's not even like they tried. It's not even like they put together this fake free agent list, like the Billy Butlers of the world, you know, where you're bringing them in and you're like, yeah, hey, look, we signed a free
country
agent.
Biscuit is a country breakfast.
Yeah. Country breakfast.
There we go.
They didn't even do that.
No,
they just,
I don't think
they did nothing.
No, I saw a reliever they brought back, and I'm like, I don't even remember that guy being on the team last year. Sure enough, he was bad. He was there. You're like, huh?
Zach Geloff can play.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Zach Geloff is a gangster. But beyond that, like, there's not. Shea Langeliers is not putting butts in seats, bro. People aren't in Vegas like, yeah, we're pretty fired up for the Langeliers era.
No, I think, you know, Tyler Soderstrom, like, that could be an era. But again. Geloff and Soderstrom, they don't match the timeline for a new team in 2028 in Vegas. They don't. They don't match the timeline. So what are we doing here? Like, it's such a clown show and just such an embarrassment. And I know, like, there's rumors last week that the Sacramento's leader in the clubhouse to have the A's for 3 years, and now all of a sudden the A's and City of Oakland get back to the table, and now they're negotiating. Like, the whole thing is just a mess, and I just can't understand how we could get to a point where this is okay, that this is normal. And again, the Kings did this exact same thing. Like, this is a Kings playbook. It is. It's the horrible Kings playbook under the Maloofs, where
Do you see parallels here?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, you literally ran the lowest payroll in the league for like 3 or 4 straight years. My first year, like 3 consecutive years, they traded for a player that was out and not going to play, and some of them not ever going to play again. They traded for Larry Hughes. They traded for Sam Cassell. They traded for Marquise Daniels just to get to the salary floor, just to get to the lowest point. And Marquise Daniels had injured his neck, never played again. Larry Hughes had a broken wrist, was not going to play. And he may have come back and played a couple of years later for Orlando or something, but was done. Like, that's what you did just to get to the salary cap floor. And on top of that, you just, instead of, again, the playbook, this is the playbook. Instead of fixing a toilet in one of the bathrooms, you put a plastic bag and duct tape over it. Like, you couldn't even afford to fix stalls or urinals or sinks that ran all day long. You couldn't afford to fix them. Or you didn't spend the $200 for a new sink and have one of your maintenance workers fix a sink in a bathroom. No, they stopped doing all of that. You remember Keith Smart had a run out on the floor because the Kings had lost their sponsorship with like Wells Fargo, and they had covered it up with a plastic bag up on the scoreboard. On the scoreboard, they covered it with black Bisqueen or plastic bags. Yeah. They fell off in the middle of a game, and Keith Smart ran out on the floor and grabbed the plastic bag out of the air as it's falling. Like, this is who ran the Sacramento Kings. So yeah, there are parallels here. This is who they were, and you just can't. Like, sometimes people can't be owners anymore, and that's it. Who wants, number one, a stadium on 9 acres in downtown Las Vegas? The answer is nobody. The city doesn't want it there. Nobody wants it there. There's a pre-existing hotel there that won't be torn down in like till 2027. Like, this is the worst.
Yeah, you can't just blow up a hotel.
They don't have their financing. And last time I checked, John Fisher is not getting richer. He's getting poorer, like, by the minute. Mm-hmm. So how is it that he's going to be able to finance? Like, there are talk that John Fisher is going from hotel to hotel, pitching with a pitch deck, him and Dave Cavall, pitching their financing deal to casino owners, trying to get somebody to give them money. And the answer is nobody wants them. Nobody wants to give them money. It's just an embarrassment.
They're trying to do this. They're trying to do this while they're also going to roll out one of the worst teams in baseball.
Well, I mean, that's, and then Oakland A's fans are the ones who get dragged when they don't show up, because what are you supposed to do? You're not again, you can't do a giveaway in the stadium that says player to be named later. You can't. Because that's all you got. Like, or Vegas bound. How about you do that? You give a Oakland A's t-shirt in a nondescript color, not A's colors. It's gotta be like
just
purple.
A black and white welcome to Las Vegas t-shirt.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
That's the whole issue. Is part of the reason people stopped going is because the team a long time ago stopped committing to the city. They've been trying to get out of Oakland as long as I can remember. Now they're gone. Now they have approval to move to Las Vegas, and showing up isn't going to help. Cow. So I appreciate that the national conversation has gotten away from like, hey, nobody goes to A's games, and it's gotten more into like, hey, nobody wants to support this guy.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to support this ownership group specifically. It's not the team. It's not baseball. The A's used to regularly sell out the Coliseum. And
oh yeah, I've been to many sellouts
and had the highest payrolls in baseball. It's not the city.
No,
I promise. It's not the lack of fans. I promise.
Yeah, I mean,
it is
the heart.
It is very much the ownership group.
Yeah, and I would say like A's fans and Kings fans are very similar. Like, if you're an A's fan, you're an A's fan. Like, I have said it repeatedly. If Major League Baseball does allow this to happen and it goes down the way that it's going to go down, right, where they just pick up and move to Las Vegas, I'm done with the sport. To have this idiot, moronic commissioner come out and say, well, they can just become Giants fans. Dude.
Oh, my God.
Leave the game. If you don't understand that that's not how sports work, get out of the game, Rob Manfred. You are trash. Trash, Kyle. No, it's just amazing how embarrassing these people are, all of them, for for Major League Baseball, for the game itself, how they're destroying, absolutely destroying a fan base. Like, you're not getting those fans back. They're leaving you. They're going to go find something else to watch because you're trash. I mean, it's just absolutely horrible.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm aghast at how badly the A's have managed to bungle this.
Yeah.
They have been like, I'm not shocked that they've screwed this up to this point. I am shocked that they've been handed so many get out of jail free cards with all this, and they still cannot get it right.
No.
They have a league with 29 owners trying to like push this thing forward and push this thing through and get this team to Las Vegas. They're trying so badly to get into that market. And they can't do it right. And I just it's not going to be a lot better this year.
No.
In fact, it's probably going to be demonstrably worse. And you thought there weren't people at games last year? I think it's going to be
cricket.
It is going to be really, really bad this year, and it sucks because you want to go as a sports fan and as a baseball fan and as a person who has been an A's fan my entire life. Like, my instinct is to be like, yeah, I want to go root for Zach Gelof.
Yeah.
I want to go root for, you know, Tyler Soderstrom. Like, I want to go root Butler. But you can't.
Nope.
Because you can't support what this ownership group has done. So, sorry for the tangent. It's probably going to happen more than once. Let's welcome in D'Lo. D'Lo and KC. He's coming up at noon for the handoff. D'Lo, what's going on, man?
What's up, man?
Chilling. How did you take in All-Star Weekend?
I didn't.
At all?
No.
High five.
Yeah, I'm not going to be one of those people who like sits around and complains about how bad it is. Like, if there's something I need to see from All-Star Weekend, I'll see it. Like, I'm not wasting my time like watching that stuff. Like, I don't care about All-Star Saturday Night anymore. I tuned in. Like, I had it on. Like, my plan was like, I just was going to get some other stuff done, do some work, and just kind of have the game on in the background. I kept thinking it was weird. Like, I haven't gotten any alerts for it. Like, it's kind of weird. I thought the game started at five. That's my fault. I thought it started at five. I put it on at like 5:35, and it still wasn't on. I don't think it started for like another 10 or 20. I was like, man, I just had this all wrong. And so I kind of sat there for a minute. I watched Ty get a bunch of shots up, and I was like, okay, Ty wins the MVP at home. Like, that'd be cool. Like, it's cool. It's perfect. Like, you know, Ty's been the star, had the, you know, super interesting outfit, you know, walking in. And I was like, all right, like, it's good. And then it kind of became like, all right, I'm out. Like, I just don't need to do this. I didn't watch All-Star Saturday Night. And the only thing I saw was whatever was on. I think it was the celebrity game when Kenny and I were doing the KSFM show on Friday. That's all that I had on. Like, I just didn't. I don't care. Like, I don't want to watch to create this big think piece about how the NBA needs to do better and players this, players that. They don't care. I don't care. Like, it's not must-see TV for me. Like, it's a break for them. It's a break for me.
Did it used to be, though? Like, did you used to get tapped in?
Yeah, I used to. Yeah, absolutely. Like, I used to. The 92 All-Star game, I think, is one of my favorite basketball games ever, where they walked off the floor when Magic hit the three in Orlando. I remember Jordan's in the overtime game, wishing they had just walked off the floor for Jordan's last All-Star game instead of actually trying to, you know, go to overtime, which Kobe always said, like, I wasn't trying to. He fouled me. What do you want me to do? Miss the free throws? I don't know when I stopped paying attention, but it's definitely been in recent years where it's just like, I don't care.
I love that you said, like, if they don't care, I don't care. I will.
And I don't fault them for that, by the way. Like, yeah. It's not like this, oh, they need to do this. It needs to be like it used to. No, like, it's cool. Like, it's essentially like an unpaid exhibition. These dudes are exhausted. They're worried about play-ins, playoffs, all NBAs. They're worried about contracts and all of this different stuff. I get it. Like, I completely get it. But I don't need to like sit around and, you know, be frustrated by it.
Yeah, we were out to dinner on Saturday night and the TVs had it on, the 3-point shootout and the slam dunk contest. I was like, okay, I'll sit here and watch it like while I'm eating and, you know, having a cocktail. Mm-hmm. That's fine. But outside of that, I'm not turning it on. I didn't even look on Sunday. I was like, okay, what time is the finale of True Detective coming on? Because I don't care about this game at all.
It was a second screen experience for your boy, for sure. It was on, but I was telling James, Damien, I was like, I feel like I'm obligated to do this because of work, but I didn't. I stopped
feeling like that. Like if we come in today and we talk like the build to WrestleMania for the next 4 hours, does anyone tune in and go, I can't believe they're not talking about the NBA All-Star game?
No.
Like, we do have certain, like, obligations to what we do, and I don't think NBA All-Star game is one of them.
Did you watch
if the Aaron was in it, it's different. If Domas is in it, it's different. Like, if there's a Kings tie-in, like, I get that. But other than that, no.
Did the Steph Sabrina Ionescu shootout do anything for you?
Yeah, I thought it was cool. But again, I watched it on social media. Like, I didn't watch it live. I wasn't going to try to time it because I didn't care about anything else that night. But I was intrigued
by
that.
I messed up my Saturday night, man.
You messed up your Saturday night with this? It's like watching the home run derby.
I was like, hey, I gotta get tapped in.
I even think the home run derby, like, there is a way that guys can hit more home runs and it becomes even more spectacular. And so you're just like, this is wild. I cannot believe that guy just hit X amount of home runs. Like, he just keeps hitting them. I just, you don't feel that way about the 3-point shootout. You don't feel that way.
I actually think the 3-point shootout I think it's cool. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that event. I think it's a blast. I think if you, and I love, you know, the idea that was floating around social media of like add, you know, Kelsey Plum or Caitlin Clark or something to this equation with maybe Steph and Dame or something along those lines. Dude, I love that idea. Like, that's tremendous. But I also like the 3-point contest in general. I think it's fun when a guy or a girl gets hot like that and just starts firing. That's phenomenal. But it's also part of a bigger. It's part of a bigger show that it's like, well, I'll see it. I'll see what I need to see.
Yep.
And if I need to see you know, a kid dunk over Shaq, like, I'll see it. But I'm not going to sit around and, you know, wait for Jaylen Brown to miss 4 dunk attempts and wait for this guy to miss 10 dunk attempts before I see the one dunk that I need to see. I'll just go to Twitter and see the one dunk I need to see, or it'll pop up on an IG reel. It's as simple as that.
They tried to rig it for Jaylen Brown and he still couldn't win.
When they added the Jazz getting thrown out of the house sound to the Jaylen Brown Tatum lob, that was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. That was one of the great. That was one of the great uses of the internet. In history.
It was the most mundane dunk of all time.
Ah!
It
was just like, really, that was great.
That was
D-Long KC talking all about WrestleMania and AEW and other wrestling
good.
Terms.
No, that was good.
Is that right?
No, we're actually going to talk a lot about the A's with Jake Gaden. He's going to join us at 1:00. Trista will be with us at 2:00, and then Jason Jones the final hour of the show. So.
Lock in. D'Lo and Casey coming up next on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.